If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. But you'll also need to go to page 2 in your Bible, at least it's what it is in mine, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. We'll be going throughout the entire passage, back and forth throughout the entire message. So Romans 5 verse 12 is where we're going to start, and then we're going to end up going back and forth to Genesis chapter 2 verse 15. I tell you what, it is good to be here this morning. I'm glad to be here because I live just right up the road in Haslett. And so it is good to be in my own bed, be able to sleep and not have to get on a plane and come here to preach. And the other thing is, it's good to be able to go home and be able to watch the Cowboys play this afternoon. I don't get to do that very much. You have the ability to do that. Did you know? I mean, I've been all the way from Colorado to Florida in the last couple of months. And did you know that the Cowboys are not the main football game everywhere you go? I mean, I can go to like Florida or something, and they have like Tampa Bay Buccaneers play. I'm like, it's the Cowboys. And so you know that there needs to be revival in the land. Something is going on. But I do have a little trivia question for you this morning, a little sports trivia, because I know we're going to be going to watch the Cowboys, you know, on TV and stuff. And they always throw that little Aflac duck coming across the screen, and they'll ask you a question. It kind of throws me off because I'm not ready for it. So what I'll do is I'm going to get you in the groove for it this morning. Now, this is not a football deal. This is a baseball, since we just got through the baseball season and stuff. Does anybody know who was in the World Series in 1924? Besides Dr. Roy Fish. Anybody in here? No, because he is a baseball genius. He knows. Anybody know who is in the World Series? This is where you participate. This is where you can talk and say stuff out loud. Yankees. No, it was not the Yankees, but it was a New York team. Cardinals. I'm about to give an invitation right now for you. Let's just go ahead, John, crank up the organ. We're going to have, that man needs to be saved. I thought we prayed that demonic activity just stop here this morning. Does anybody know who, right back here in the back. And by the way, don't be cheating by getting on your smartphone. Are you cheating? Okay, give me a guess. It was the Giants. You didn't get on your iPad or smartphone though, right? Okay, do you know for, let's see, we'll throw in a turkey dinner. Do you know who they were playing? Who? No. No, sir. Well, if we keep on guessing, somebody's going to get it, and then I'm going to have to give away a turkey dinner. It was just for this lady back here. Do you know who? Who? No, ma'am. Sorry. It was the old Washington Senators. Now, if you follow baseball trivia and you like that, the old Washington Senators were based in Washington, D.C. They split off, became the new Washington Senators, moved to Minnesota. The old Washington Senators dissolved. The new Washington Senators end up moving down to present day Arlington, Texas, where you have our Texas Rangers. So technically, you could say we have won a World Series. It seems like that might be the only way we're going to win this thing. So, but it was an incredible series. In Wayne Rice's book, 1994 book, he talks about the story of what happens in the ninth inning. You go to the final and seventh game is being played in Washington. You go to the bottom of the eighth inning, the score is tied 3-3. I mean, fans are going nuts. I mean, here was their shot at winning the World Series because their slogan was first in war, first in peace, last in American League. That was a slogan of the old Washington Senators. So here you go. You go down to the bottom of the eighth inning with score tied 3-3. They know all they have to do is shut them three up, three down, top of the ninth. And guess what? They did just that. Big Train Johnson came in, shut them down, top of the ninth. So scores tied 3-3. Series tied up three each. First batter up for the Senators. He gets out. Second batter up for the Senators. He gets out. Third batter for the Senators. If you could pick anybody on your team that you would want, matter of fact, anybody in the league, this guy was MVP of the series. His name was Goose Gosselin. Goose steps up to the plate. Pitch those first ball right down the pipe, strike one. Next pitch, another meat pitch, strike two. He has an 0-2 count now. Next two pitches are balls. He has a 2-2 count, two outs, bottom of the ninth, score tied 3-3, series tied up 3-3. You understand there's only one more pitch that can get you any more bottom of the ninth. I mean, this is it. I mean, well, except the World Series when we just had one strike. But anyway, that's a whole other deal. So here it is. Next pitch comes down the plate. Goose steps into it, hits the ball. I'm not talking a blooper. I am talking a shot to left center. And if it's on ESPN today, the announcer says, bap, 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 bap. Everybody's on the feet. They know it's going to be another home run by Goose Gosling. Goose is rounding first, head to second. The ball comes down, hits 6 inches from the top of the left center field fence. Ricochets back into outfield. Center fielder, left fielder, chase the ball down now. Goose rounds second, head to third. Third base coach realized this might be the only chance to have to score. So he waves him home as he's bringing Goose home. Center fielder takes the ball, throws into shortstop. Shortstop relays to the catcher. Catcher is standing over home plate. Goose is now sliding. He has clearly beat the throw by at least 2 steps. As he's sliding in the catcher, catches it, tags him. Umpire says, "You're out." And when he did, the fans went nuts. They started throwing all kinds of trash and debris on the field, cussing the umpires out and threatening to kill them, like a lot of your Little League games around here. So the umpires went to pitcher's mound for a conference, probably because it was the safest place on the field at that time. Everybody in the stands saw what happened. I mean, everybody saw he'd be thrown by 2 steps. So they're thinking, well, the head umpire will be talking to the other umpires. They'll say, "Hey, he was really safe." He says, "Really? I didn't know. I had dirt in my eye. I couldn't see it." He was like, "Okay." And then they'll win the World Series. That's what everybody's thinking. Head umpire comes out 15 minutes later. Now, this is still debated to this day. Head umpire comes out and says, "Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? May I have your attention, please? The runner is still out. But not because the play at the plate. The runner's out because he missed first base." And just like Goose was called out that day because he missed first base, there's a lot of people in this auditorium. When you stand before a holy God on Judgment Day, you're going to be called out and sent to hell. Not because you weren't religious. Not because you weren't good. Not because you weren't baptized. Not because you didn't give money to in the plate. But because you missed first base spiritually. You say, "Ryan, how can we miss first base spiritually?" A lot of people do it. Satan has deceived many people all over the world. We're going to look in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, and see how you and I can hit first base spiritually. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Can we all please stand and honor reading of God's word? Romans 5, verse 12, the Bible says this. "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and this way death came to all men because all sin." Let's pray. Father, we ask that you anoint your word, that you would speak to hearts, change lives. We thank you that you do save. And we ask you, God, that you do it right now for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, the Bible says this. "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and this way death came to all men because all sin." You say, "Ronnie, what is all that saying? Death came through one man, all sin because of one man." Hold your place in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Go all the way back now to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. The Bible says this. "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You're free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die.'" Okay, does everybody understand the parameters that God set up in the garden? He told Adam and Eve, "Hey, you can eat from any tree in the garden. You eat from this one, you're going to die." Did he say you might die or you will die? You will die. Okay, everybody got that? That's the playing rules. So let's pick up the story. Let's see what happens. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Genesis 3, verse 1. "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'Oh, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden. But God did say you must not eat fruit from the trees in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you'll die.'" Verse 4, "You will not surely die." The serpent said to the woman, "For God knows when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." All right, let's stop there for a second. Let me ask you a question. Is there anybody in this auditorium, anybody, that is never, ever physically going to die? Now, take the second coming of Jesus out of the picture. Take that out of the picture. Is there anybody here that is never, ever physically going to die? You're never going to have another birthday, because every time you have a birthday, the older you get, the more your organs wear out. You will never get cancer. You will never be in a car wreck. Is there anybody here that is never, ever physically going to die? We're all going to die? Okay, so church, what does that make Satan? A liar. A lot. Matter of fact, Jesus said he's the father of all lies. That joker's been lying from the get-go. And he's going to lie to you too this morning. He's going to say, "You don't need to hit first base spiritually. You're a good person. You've never killed anybody. You deserve to go." He's a liar. Don't let him lie to you and deceive you like he did Adam and Eve. In just a minute, I'm going to give you an opportunity to invite Christ to come into your life, to be your boss, your Lord, your Savior. And here's what Satan's going to say to you. I'm going to give you time to come forward and do that. He's going to say, "Don't be going down there and doing that. People are going to look at you. They're going to laugh at you. They're going to talk about you. You're being a member of this church." He's a liar. And all the years I've been traveling doing this, I have never, ever seen anybody come, when they come forward, people talking about them. No, let me tell you what's going to happen. People are going to be looking at themselves thinking, "Do I need to do that?" So don't let Satan lie to you and deceive you like he did Adam and Eve in the garden. All right, let's pick up the story. Verse 6. "When the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were," and you know, we're all from Texas, so we say it like this, "naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves." What happened? God said, "You can eat from any tree. You eat from this one, you'll die." Satan said, "You won't die." She said, "Well, it does look good." She took some, she ate it, gave some to Adam, he ate it, then boom! They realized they had clothes on, and they went and hid in the garden. Are you with me to this point? Okay, hold your place in Genesis. Go all the way back now to Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Romans 5, verse 12. "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man." Who's the one man? Adam. It says, "And death through sin. And this way death came to all men because all sin." Folks, here's what the Word of God is saying. From that one action in the garden where Adam and Eve disobeyed God, from that one action, sin entered into the world. But not only did sin enter the world, death also entered the world as a result of their sin. You're saying, "Ronnie, you're sitting here telling me today because what Adam and Eve did in the garden that day, that's why I've inherited sin?" Yep. You said, "Because of what they did, because I've inherited sin, that's why I'm physically going to die one day?" Yep. He said, "Ronnie, that is not fair. That is just not fair. Ronnie, if that had been me that day in the garden, I wouldn't have eaten from the tree." Please. No, Ronnie, I'd have stayed 50 yards away from that tree. I wouldn't even come close to that tree. People, we can't even come to church this morning without sinning. And you're going to tell me you're going to be in the garden all these years and never sin? Hey, I guarantee you, 90% of you ladies, you sin before you even get out the house this morning. Especially those of you that have kids. You can act all spiritual all you want to, put on a tie, the suit, best smile, praise Jesus when you come through the door. But I'm telling you, I know what goes on in your house before you get here. Because I've got a kid too. Now tell me, ladies, did this or did this not take place in your home this morning? You're getting the kids ready for church, so you got them at the breakfast table. And it's the boy. It's always the boy. And you have a brand new box of Fruity Pebbles. You told him he could not have the prize in the Fruity Pebbles until all of his Fruity Pebbles are gone. What's he do? First time you walk out of the room, he gets his grubby little paw, sticks it down in there, grabs that prize, pulls it out, and then Fruity Pebbles go all over the place. So now you're having to get your little shop duster vac thing. You're doing this. Your other boy runs in your closet, gets a brand new pair of pantyhose, puts on his head, rips your pantyhose. He's running around playing cops and robbers. Pow, pow, pow. Do it. Your little girl gets a brand new tube of lipstick, smears all over, ruins the lipstick. And what's your husband doing in the middle of all of this? Can you people be quiet in there? I work hard for this family. Can I have just one day, the Lord's day, to have some peace and quiet? be able to read the sports section and watch a little ESPN. Is that a little too much to ask? So all this fighting and commotion going on in your house. And so finally, ladies, you're halfway getting dressed and ready. And so you're in the bathroom and you're putting that black stuff on your eyes, whatever that black stuff is. And you come in there and your husband says, honey, we have got to go. You know, if we don't go now, we're going to be late. All the good seats in the back are going to be taken up. And we're going to have to sit down front with the preacher. And what'd you say? Honey, I'll be ready in a minute. That's a lie. You just lied to your husband. And you haven't even got out the door. There is not a woman on this planet that can get ready in a minute. I love you, honey, wherever you're sitting. You know it. Men are going, that's right, preach it. Preach it. Honey, you don't drag me to church? Then listen to that preacher right there. But men, we sin too, don't we? I'm just going to tell you. I'm in the pulpit. I have to tell the truth. Do I not? Okay, so I'm just going to have a little confession, all right? There are a lot of sins I deal with on a daily basis. Just because I'm a preacher don't mean I'm perfect. I sin just like everybody else. And there is multiple sins, but there's one sin that I deal, I mean, every single day. This is a hard thing for me to deal with. And I'm just going to tell you right now, and before I say anything, I want to apologize to all law enforcement officers out there right now. It is hard for me to get in my truck and drive to DFW Airport, which I do on a regular basis. And there's a little highway between my house and DFW Airport. It starts at 170, six-lane highway. Dumps into 114, another six-lane highway. There is a portion on 170 that at one time, it was 55 miles an hour. Then it slows down to 40. Four on a six-lane. Do you understand? I could jump out of my truck and run backwards at 40 miles an hour. I'm thinking, why does it go from 55 to 40 miles an hour? Police officer told me that it was because of this hill. So people can't see us coming, you know, up the hill. I'm like, well, don't punish us. Put a mirror up there. Shoot it down the hill. But my speeding ticket paid for that thing to be changed. So now there is a red light there, and it's back to 55. But men, on the way to church, right, we're driving here to church, and somebody in front of us is not even driving the speed limit. So what do we do, men? Oh, we'll show them, won't we? And we cut them off. And I'm talking about here in the church parking lot. We're driving like, oh, yeah, we're praised, Jesus saves. And then, man, we're getting out of here. We're fighting, cutting people off, trying to get out of here, honking the horn. We do that too. And listen, man, if you're going to drive like that, take them little Jesus fish off your truck. So, some of y'all have the Jesus fish. Some of you got guppies for your kids too. Little Listen, take them off. I don't have none on my truck. I'm still trying to get this thing down. I don't have it down. But see, we sin. All of us do. Kids are going, that's right. Preach to my parents. They're always preaching to me, so preach to them. Hey, kids, students, you sin too. You say, oh, no, I don't. Your mom and dad tell you to clean your room? And say, oh, but it is clean. You got stuff growing there that EPA don't even know what it is. Hey, your brother or sister that's been missing for a week, don't put the picture on a milk carton. Clean your room. They're under your bed. That's where they're at. Say, hey, but here's the deal. We all sin. And whether you think it's a little bitty sin or a big sin, we all sin. And the Bible says the consequence of our sin is death and hell. That's what we deserve because we have sinned against a holy, righteous God. So what in the world are we going to do? If we're separated from God, when Adam and Eve, when they sin and we're separated from God, how in the world do we get back to a right relationship with Him? Here's the good news. Romans chapter 5, verse 17 says this. For if by the trespass, now is that talking about somebody getting on somebody else's land? No, what it means is the sin. For if by the trespass or the sin of the one man, we said the one man was who? Adam. Says death reigned through that one man. How much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in the life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Folks, here's what the Word of God is saying. One man, Adam, brought us sin, death, and destruction. But one man, Jesus, brought us life, grace, righteousness, eternal life, peace, purpose, hope, meaning. One man brought us down, but one man, Jesus, brought us up. I don't know why that's so hard to understand. Why is it so hard to understand? It's through the blood of Jesus, our sins are forgiven. It's never been by good works. It's never been by denomination. It's never been by baptism. It's the blood of Jesus that covers and takes away our sin. You say, Ronnie, I got a bone to pick with you then. You said Adam and Eve, when they sinned, that we were separated from God. Yep. You say, well, okay, but wait, Jesus didn't die on the cross till about 2,000 years ago. So what about all those people from Jesus all the way back to Adam? I mean, if it's taking blood, it should always take blood. Hey, guess what? It has. It has always taken blood to get forgiveness of sin. You don't believe me? Go back one more time to Genesis. And I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm gonna catch you up on the story, and I'm going to read to you one verse. Do you remember in the garden, God said, you can eat from any tree in the garden. You eat from this one, you're going to die. Satan said, you won't die. She says, it does look good. She took some, she ate it, gave some to Adam. He ate it. They realized I had clothes on. They went and hid in the garden. Okay, God comes walking by in the cool of the day. Adam, Eve, where are you?
Psst, we're over here.
Oh, over where?
Psst, behind these bushes.
What are you doing behind the bushes?
Duh, we don't have any clothes on.
Who told you you don't have any clothes on? You ate from the tree, didn't you? Come here. So he calls them out. Now, they've been back there making clothes out of fig leaves. Why fig leaves? I have no idea. Do we have any people in here that's ever picked any figs before? By a show of hands, you pick some figs, raise your hand. Can I get a witness that fig leaves are itchy? So why in the world would they, out of all of God's creation, they chose figs? You know what that just does? That just shows me one of two things. That just shows me, one, either Adam and Eve just didn't have no common sense, or two, it was just the first bush they came to. That's the only thing I can think of. So here they come out with their fig leaf attire. And God's looking at them like, Out of everything I create, you chose fig leaf. Why fig leaf? So here they come out, and God's like, all right, Adam, I'm going to have to pronounce a curse on you. You disobey me. I told you not to eat the tree. You ate from the tree, so I'm going to pronounce a curse. So from now on, men from all over the world, from every tribe, nation, language, they're going to have to work 40, 50, 60 hours a week to earn a paycheck, to put food on the table because of what you did today here in the garden. What was Adam's response? But God, it wasn't me. It was that woman you gave me. God said, I know. He said, ladies, I'm not finished. Hang on. He said, all right, Eve, because you disobeyed and you got Adam and Eve from the tree, I'm going to have to pronounce a curse on you. So from now on, women from all over the world, from every tribe, nation, language, every time they go to have a baby, they're going to have an epidural because of what you did today here in the garden. What was Eve's response? But God, it wasn't me. It was that snake. God said, I know. He said, all right, serpent, because you lied to them, deceived them, got them to eat from this tree, I'm going to pronounce a curse on you. So from now on, men from all over the world, from every tribe, nation, language, every time they see your skinny, nasty little head, they're going to get a shovel, a hoe, a shotgun, a machete, a club. They're going to stomp on you. They're going to kill you. Whether you are a good snake or a bad snake, unless you run in one of them jokers on Discovery Channel, they might let you slide. Everybody else is going to kill you. I don't care if you're a chicken snake or not. You die. What did the snake say? But God, wasn't me. It was that dirt. Not for real. But do you see what everybody's doing? What's everybody doing? Trying to blame somebody else for their own sin, right? Man, has anything changed today? Pick up a newspaper. Judge, it's not my fault I shot and killed all those people. It's society's fault. Judge, it's not my fault I drowned my kids. It's my parents' fault. Judge, it's not my fault. It's somebody else's. And what's the word of God saying? It's not society's fault. It's not the government's fault. It's not your parents' fault. It is your fault. You have sinned against a holy, righteous God. So what did God have to do because Adam and Eve sinned in the garden? Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and clothed them. Now, if you hunt, you probably caught that. If you don't hunt, let me break it down for you. For the first time in the garden where the lion and lamb could play together, for the first time, God had to take an innocent little lamb. He had to slit his throat. He had to hang him up from a tree, skin him out, and use the skin from that lamb to make clothes for Adam. Why did he have to do that? Because of sin and rebellion in the garden. It was one lamb for one man, but it didn't stop there. You remember when the children of Israel in Egypt, and they were enslaved to Pharaoh, and they cried out, God save us, God rescue us. God heard the cry, sent Moses down to get the people out of Egypt. Pharaoh said, no, I'm not going to let them go. So God sent plague after plague after plague after plague. Do you remember the final last plague? God said, I'm fed up with them. He said, Moses, you tell Pharaoh, if he don't let my people go, I'm coming through tonight, and I'm going to kill the firstborn male. Whether it's an animal or a human being, firstborn male dies throughout Egypt tonight. He said, but Moses, you tell my people, if they'll take a lamb, they'll slit its throat. They'll drain the blood into a bowl. They'll take a branch, they'll dip in that blood, they'll go to the front of the door. They'll wipe the blood on the side of the door, over the top of the door, and over the other side of the door. Then when I come through tonight and I see the what, church? The blood. I will pass over. That's where we get Passover from. I will pass over and spare their whole family. In the garden, it was one lamb for one man. In Egypt, one lamb spared a family. But it didn't stop there. God delivered the children of Israel. They got out in the wilderness. God said, we're going to set up a portable church building. We're going to call it a tabernacle because I want to dwell among my people. So they had an outer court out there. That's where the altar was. That's where sacrifices were made. They had a place of worship inside in the holy place. But then they had a place called the Holy of Holies. And it was a huge curtain to separate the Holy of Holies from everybody else. Nobody could come back here into the Holy of Holies. He said, Moses, the only person that could come in the Holy of Holies, this is where I'm going to show up. This is where the Ark of the Covenant is. This is where I'm going to manifest my presence. Moses, the only person that could come into the Holy of Holies is your brother Aaron, the high priest. He can only come on one day a year, on the Day of Atonement. And when he comes into my presence, he has to bring with him blood from one of the animals, blood from a lamb. And I want him to sprinkle it on the Ark of the Covenant, on the mercy seat, for the forgiveness of sin, for the entire nation of Israel. Folks, do you see the progression? In the garden, it was one lamb for one man. In Egypt, one lamb spared a family. In the wilderness, one lamb got forgiveness of sin for an entire nation of Israel. But if it stopped there, you and I still would be without hope for two reasons. Number one, the majority in here were not Israelites. Number two, if you were an Israelite, according to the Torah, the law required a blood sacrifice. Leviticus 17:11 says that he had given that blood for atonement for our sins. So it's always taking blood to get forgiveness of sins. So how in the world? When I pulled up here in the church, I didn't see a stock trailer out here loaded up with any goats, bulls, sheep, lamb. So how are you going to get forgiveness of sin? Here it is. Ever since Adam and Eve, they were separated from God in the garden. God's whole plan was to bring us back to a right relationship with him. So God sent prophet after prophet saying a Messiah was coming, a savior of the world. In Isaiah, it said he was going to be bruised for our transgressions. By his stripes, we would be healed. So finally, the last Old Testament prophet is preaching, John the Baptist. As John the Baptist is preaching, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and he's baptizing people. He looks up, he sees Jesus coming. Do you know his exact words were in John 1:29? Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the entire world. The world. That's why we can have forgiveness of sin, because Jesus is the final blood sacrifice. Once and for all mankind. Church, what's the song we sing? What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. It's always taking blood to get forgiveness of sin. And I don't care who you are in here. I don't care if you're a member of this church, how well you've done in this church and this community and all the things that you've done. You round second, third in your life and you're on your way home. If you miss first base spiritually, nothing else matters. So you say, well, how do I do that? In just a minute, I'm going to give you an opportunity. Right where you're seated, if you're willing to admit that you have sinned against God, that the only way that your sins could be forgiven is through the blood of Jesus. because the blood of Jesus is not covering your sins right now. Right now, you've been trying to cover your sins with church membership or this denomination or that denomination or being good. You didn't realize that it was the blood of Jesus that covers your sin. You say, well, I've never done that before. If you're willing today to admit that you sinned against God, you're willing to repent and turn from your sin, put your faith totally in Jesus. And you said, well, how do I do that? And just a minute, I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray a prayer, something like this. And by the way, this is not a magical prayer. We're not blessing the food. We're not praying, now lay me down to sleep. I'm talking about committing your life to Jesus for the rest of your life. And if you would like to do that, I'm going to pray something like this. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've blown it. God, I want to ask you to forgive me my sins. I turn from my sins, and I invite you into my life to be my boss, my Lord, my Savior. If you do something like that, according to what Romans 10:13 says, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. He'll change your life today. You say, Ronnie, so if I do that, you're telling me that my sins will be forgiven, I'll get to go to heaven? Well, according to what the Bible says in Romans 5:21, it says, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You can have eternal life today. You can have a relationship with Jesus. He's the only one that can do it for you. I can't do it for you. This church can't do it for you. Jesus can do it for you. There was a 17-year-old girl that was raped by an 18-year-old guy. As a result of the rape, she became pregnant. Of course, a lot of politicians today, a lot of people in D.C., this girl should have an abortion. Matter of fact, there was a lady that tried to get her, take her to an abortion clinic. And the 17-year-old girl said, no, I'm having the baby. 9 months later, she had a 6.5-pound baby boy. And that baby boy is me. And I want you to know I'm not here today by accident. I'm not here by some fluke. My life verse now is Genesis 50, verse 20, which says, what you intend to harm for me, God intended for the good, for the saving of many souls. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you and I set you apart. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Do you understand? That's not just for me. That's for you. That you are not here this morning by accident. And I'm not talking about in this church this morning. I'm talking about you're not here on this planet by accident. You are here for a purpose and a reason. And that purpose and reason is a relationship with God. But if you don't have that relationship with God, the very reason that you exist, it doesn't is not happening right now. And you can have that this morning. You can have peace and purpose, but it's through Jesus. It's not through anything else, anybody else, except Jesus. And if you would like to have that this morning, I'm going to give you an opportunity. I don't care if you're in the balcony on this bottom floor. I'm going to give you an opportunity to invite Jesus Christ to come to your life to save you and change your life. Listen, I know you don't know me, but I'm telling you right now, you can look in my eyes. I'm not blowing smoke. This thing really does work. Jesus Christ really does change people's lives. And he can change yours this morning. If you would like to, I'm going to pray that prayer. I don't care if you're a student. I don't care if you're an adult, a couple. I'm going to give you an opportunity to invite Jesus to come in your life. He'll change you forever. Would you do me a favor? I'm going to ask for the next 2 minutes. Nobody get up. Nobody leave. Nobody talk, because I don't want anybody to be interrupted from doing this if they want to do this. If you don't want to, that is your choice. I just want to give everybody in this auditorium that wants to invite Christ to come into life an opportunity to do that. So if you could do me a favor, heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. If you would like to pray that prayer with me, then right where you're seated, you just pray silently with me and invite Christ to come to your life to be your boss and Lord and Savior. With heads bowed, eyes closed, pray this prayer if you've never done this before. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. And I know I've messed up. And I want to ask you to forgive me of my sins. I turn from my sins, and I invite you into my life to be my boss and my Lord. Thank you for dying on the cross for me, and thank you for saving me, Lord Jesus. I want you to know something. According to what the Bible says, not what I say, not what a denomination says, what the Bible says, and it's whether you have a Catholic Bible, Protestant Bible, it's irrelevant. It's in your Bible. according to what the Bible says in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And that's just what you did. You are repenting of your sin and believing in Jesus. And I want you to know, as of right now, because of what Jesus did on the cross for you, you have been made right with God because of his blood on the cross for you. Your sins have been taken away. That is good news. That means you don't have to carry any guilt anymore about past things that have happened. It's under the blood. It's forgiven. Man, that's good news. You say, well, what am I supposed to do now? Well, first of all, Jesus is coming to live in your life. And secondly, when you die, you can know for sure you're going to go to heaven. That's two things you can count on. You say, well, what am I supposed to do now that I've done this? Jesus, the one who died on the cross for you, poured out his blood for you so your sins could be wiped out. You know what he says in Matthew 10:32-33? Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father who's in heaven. He says, if you don't confess me before men, I will not confess you before my Father who's in heaven. You say, what's that mean? What are we supposed to do? It means we're supposed to take a stand. We're supposed to let everybody know. You say, well, how? Right here, right now, today. This is your first opportunity. You say, how are we going to do that? Here's what's going to happen. In just a second, we're going to stand all over this building. When we stand, I'm going to pray. When I say amen, there are going to be pastors standing. Matter of fact, pastors, would y'all go ahead and come on up? We're just going to take you out the side then. We're going to give you material. If you don't have a Bible, if you prayed that prayer with me this morning and you don't have a Bible, we want to get you a Bible because you are starting a spiritual journey with God today, and we want to help facilitate that and get you growing and getting close to God. You can come with your family. We've had husbands and wives look up. We've had people, families. You can come with your mom, dad, friend, somebody that brought you. You can come with your spouse or come by yourself. But when we stand, I'm going to pray. When I say amen, they're going to start singing. And you step out and come, and we'll be waiting right down here for you. Could we all please stand now with heads bowed and eyes closed? Heads bowed, eyes closed. As soon as I say amen, you step out and come. There is nothing to be ashamed of. Remember what I said, what Satan's going to try to do? Don't listen to him. He's a liar. Father, we thank you for all these that trust the Lord and Savior today. God, I pray that you give them courage and boldness to take a stand for you. Bless their obedience, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.